You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore. I'd like to help you, doctor, if I really, really would, but the din in my head, it's too much and it's not good. I'm standing in a window tunnel, shouting through the roar, and I'd like to give the information, asking for no good blood makes noise. It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise, and I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear. Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another exciting edition of the Common Sense Show, our weekday version, and we're so glad to be with you today. And we have a terrific guest lined up for you in just a moment. This is Dave Hodges, your host, and my co-host is the wonderful, the lovely, and I told her I was going to give her a nickname just to pay her back for all the nicknames she's given me. The goddess of the airwaves is what I came up with from our co-host, Sheila Zielinski. And boy, that's more fact than fiction, folks. But anyway, she's also known for her great mind and her great perception of current events. And boy, oh boy, do we ever have a lot going on. And as I like to say, I have ADHD for the headlines. There's just too much going on. But in just a moment, we're going to be joined by Bob Griswold from ReadyMadeResources.com, and you'll recognize that name as a sponsor here on the show. But he also, I'll tell you, he's got experience in the dark side of things, should I say? Not bad, but dark. And he's got great awareness on how to survive a terrorist attack, how to prepare for disasters. You heard a lot of that on Sunday night, and I asked him to come back and talk about what do you do when you're out in public? What should you look for? So we'll get into that with Bob. But let's bring in Sheila. Hi, Sheila. How are you?
Great, Dave. Well, that's an interesting handle. Thank you.
Well, I know. You so lovingly called me the instigator of the airwaves, and I have to confess I'm guilty of that. That is true.
You are. You are. And
I definitely am.
But now you're the boss.
Well, it looks like, Sheila, it looks like we have Bob, and our time is really short. Well, this hour-long shows really go quickly, so let's not waste any time. Let's get Bob on here right away. Hi, Bob. How are you doing?
Hello, Dave and Sheila. How are you doing? It's a pleasure to meet the goddess of the airways. I follow your website regularly, but I've never met a goddess before, so I consider myself privileged.
Oh, she is. Trust me. That's as far as I go. I'm going to be very much a gentleman, and but she is. But she really adds a lot to this show, and I'm so glad, Sheila, to have you on board. Bob, what I told you, what I wanted to talk about and what I just mentioned to the listening audience is that topic you call situational awareness. And it's something that we're blind. We go out in public, people are blind to what's going on around them. And I have to confess, to a large extent, I am too, although I think I'm doing better. I watch people's hands more. That's a good start,
excellent.
Isn't it?
That's absolutely excellent, yes. The hands are the keys of which we do all kinds of bad things with. And if you can develop that pattern of watching hands, you can keep yourself out of most situations where you can quickly elevate a situation you could avoid to a situation that is going to take dramatic effort or dramatic efforts to get out of. And that's what we want to avoid. We do not ever want to get into a situation where we might have to use, you know, some type of force. If we can avoid that, avoid it. Keep away from it. So, yes, and again, you know, most Americans today have no consciousness of being situationally aware. When I first started developing, you know, this agenda, even for myself, one of my teachers brought me out to a mall. And we sat there and just watched the amount of people that leave the mall that have no ability whatsoever to know what's going on around them. Today, it's even worse. You have people walking around in absolute oblivion with their thumbs on some little 2x4 screen, punching away things, texting, walking. I mean, we just read a case recently, I don't know if you saw it on Drudge, a man was texting while he was walking, and he walked off a 70-foot cliff.
Yeah,
to his death. I mean, we have generation of people today that sit in restaurants, you know, anywhere they go, and they're glued to those little screens, not paying a lick of attention to anything going on around them, and it is a recipe for disaster. Now, I can tell you, bad people that have had any kind of training at all will take advantage of this. They know about it, and they're going to take advantage of it because you're just there to walk right up on them and not even see them coming.
Sure. So I suppose this also ties into what we're going to get into here in just a moment. Situational awareness, does it teach you anything about how to avoid a terrorist attack?
Well, absolutely. I mean, we've done this program before, and one of the things I tell people is, you know, don't be on the X when the X happens. Now, we've discussed this, like, if you're going to a new movie, if you're going to the mall, if you're going to a place where people are gathered, as we've talked before, you know, if you go to the mall on Friday night at 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, you're going to have a large quantity of people there. If you go to the mall on Wednesday at 2 o'clock, you can achieve your same goals. You can get your shopping done, but the amount of people that are going to be there on Wednesday at 2 o'clock are not going to be as great. So you know, you have to realize that a terrorist, a person who wants to commit an act of, you know, multiple murder, is going to be looking for a high body count. Well, off hours generally do not give them what they're looking for. So you can time your schedule to where you are at places that might be possibly considered risky. I mean, you know, if you have a new movie, a big out, you know, new release, like one that just came out, won't mention the name, but everybody knows what it'll be, and you live in a big city, don't go there on the first night. I mean, thank God nothing happened, but don't go there on the first night. It's a perfect place for someone to show up and have a bad day. You know, even though the movie theaters call them gun-free zones, we all know that they're not gun-free zones. The good people might not bring a gun in, but it does not stop somebody who wants to end up with a high body count. So how to avoid terrorism is basically just realizing that a terrorist is trying to achieve basically one thing, and that is a big splash. So go to places where they will not want, where they will not be able to achieve that big splash, and you know, just rearrange your schedule to you know, avoid high density crowds at peak times during you know, a lot of people showing up. Just avoid it.
That's
New Year's Eve is a perfect example. New Year's Eve, you're driving home at 2 o'clock in the morning. What are you likely to face? A drunk driver. I mean, why put yourself in that position? I mean, that's an obvious thing. You don't want to drive home after everybody's leaving the parties at 2 o'clock. Same thing when the bars close. I mean, some cities have regulations where bars close at 2 or 4 o'clock. You don't want to be driving home if it closes at 4:30. I mean, you have a lot higher chance of meeting someone who is incapacitated driving, or even tired driving, than if you were took care of the same business that brought you out at a normal hour. So again, avoid the terrorist attack by avoiding high density crowds at peak times of interest, if you can.
That wouldn't have worked though at San Bernardino. How familiar are you with that event, where the 14 people were killed by the ISIS related terrorist?
Again, there are some things where situational awareness could have come into play. I mean, you know, we're supposed to profile people. We're not allowed to look at people. But anybody who has any credibility at all, we profile, we discriminate, we evaluate on a daily basis. You're going to have to do those things. We did go and see the movie 13 Hours the other day, you know, enjoyed the movie. But during the movie, two things, and I was with my 13-year-old son. This was not the opening night. Two things that happened. First one that happened is someone about three seats ahead of us, there's two men sitting there, and one of them started telling the other one to shut up, you're talking too much, and I just look at that. I mean, it's getting a little dicey there. So you know, again, just that situational awareness. I was fixed on that to make sure that was not going to go anywhere it shouldn't have gone. And then right before the movie got interesting, right before the violence broke out in the movie, a couple right in front of us got up and walked out of the movie theater. Boy, oh boy, you know, Joshua says, Dad, why are you leaning up looking in their seats? Because that was not an appropriate time to leave that movie theater. Something seemed really weird about that. So, again, that situational awareness, I was making sure they didn't leave something behind.
Exactly, yep.
And you know, somebody might have looked at me going, what is he doing looking at their seats for? Well, if I had seen anything there, believe me, I would have not only gotten up out of the movie theater, but I would have said, just as a thing, I'm leaving the movie theater because there's those people left back, you know, backpack behind. I'm getting out of here. I'm going to go notify the management that somebody left a backpack behind after leaving the movie theater. That was a real life situation we just faced. And so, you might feel a little embarrassed doing that, or you might feel a little awkward doing it, but that's one of the ways you can avoid it. And again, profiling people, it's a dirty word that people say you shouldn't do, but believe me, we all do it, and we need to learn how to do it and rely on those gut instincts of when we do profile people, we say, something's going wrong here. Believe, if I'm working in an environment where there's possibly tension, I mean, there was a Jewish guy and a Muslim guy, and, you know, I'm going to be really watching that situation very closely because, again, the potential for violence under those conditions are very good. And I'm just going to be aware because you might say that's judgmental or whatever, but I'd rather be judgmental than dead.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we do need to profile. And speaking of profiling, let me go back to, and if the listening audience thinks, well, we're kind of going down fantasy aisle here, let me just share with you, on July the 4th, the director of the FBI came out and said, we know that there are ISIS terror cells in all 50 states.
And absolutely.
Bob, that was 7 months ago. So how far has it gone since then? This is something we all need to be aware of. So if someone goes through their average day, what kinds of things should they think about doing other than avoiding malls at crowded times and so forth?
Well, Dave, I've shared this with you before. This is probably one of the most valuable tools I can give somebody. How to develop a real sense of situational awareness and keep that situational awareness for, so just say, an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours. Keeping an idea of what's going on around you for just a short period of time and how exhausting it can be and how you have to train yourself to do it. Remember the example I shared, that if you go get a movie, get any movie, put the movie on. It could be a love story. It could be a, you know, violent shoot 'em up movie, but whatever. Keep in mind that if it's a love story, the guy and the girl in the middle of the screen that are kissing, that's what you're designed to look at. If it's Bruce Lee kicking somebody's rear end, that's what you're designed to look at. What you want to do is learn to not pay attention to that, or try to avoid that as much as you can, and pay attention to the background in that movie. It's very difficult to do this. Especially if you're trying to do it for a protracted period of time, you're going to find yourself mentally fatigued. And this is what we need to start developing, because those terrorist groups are out there. There are people that have had bad days out there. And we're going to see more and more of this as our society decays into immorality. I mean, we have a society that with any quantifiable method we would look at it, we are descending into an immoral society, and you're going to have people that are going to be acting out their violence because they do not know how to deal with reality. And so get that movie. When you're watching the movie, sit there and watch for things like, where's the shadows in this movie at? Tells you where the sun's at. What are the people wearing? Is it male, female? What kind of cars are driving through here? What kind of buildings? Do you see any stores where something's for sale? What's for sale? What color clothes? What color is this? Start paying attention to those details around you, because that's where the action happens. And so many times, this is why people get flanked, and this is why a terrorist can do things that we do not see because we don't expect it. But when you learn to look at that which is not in the center screen, that which absorbs us, and it's so easy to get self-absorbed into the moment, to where we become gravitated around one particular thing, that somebody can easily just walk in and do what they do, because we've not trained ourselves to be situation aware. But try that for an hour, hour and a half, one night, and it'll start changing you. And then as you do watch any type of visual media, start doing that. Watching even mistakes in the movie. I mean, do they have the same clothes on that they had the last time in the same scene? You can start picking the movie apart, and you'll learn to be situationally aware. Other things that you can do, and this is a fight or flight from somebody who did martial arts for, gosh, 20-some years. When you really get into that situation where you're facing an opponent, your whole body goes into what the fight or flight mechanism, where your eyesight, your blood core goes to the core of your body, your fingers don't work as well, you're focused, and what people are trained to do is, and again, it takes training to do it. Keep your head on a swivel, look around, look side to side. Look up and down. You know, just some things I do with my wife as we're out, I'll move the rearview mirror and I'll ask her what color car is in the background, what color car is following you. Those are the things that you can do to start developing this situational awareness. And I would say, not every time, but a good amount of times, you're going to start seeing things that you need to avoid. You know,
exactly.
And again,
Bob, we're going to have to hold it right here. We're going into break. When we come back, we're going to continue with Bob Griswold on situational awareness, and we're going to get a lady's perspective of it, because I'm going to bring Sheila into this and let her ask some questions. Stay tuned, everybody. More with Bob Griswold from ReadyMadeResources.com on the other side.
For this week's Ranger Gear Review, we are literally giving away folding credit card knives for one penny each. This is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and to take advantage of this offer, just go to FreeFoldingKnife.com. That's FreeFoldingKnife.com, and you'll get this folding credit card knife for just one penny. This isn't some gimmick. This is a real emergency-use folding credit card knife with a steel blade, very, very sharp, 65 millimeters in length on the blade, but it folds down like origami to the shape and size of a credit card. This makes it incredibly easy to carry in a pocket or a purse or the glove box of your car and have it ready for emergency use. Normally, these are sold for anywhere from $5 to $10, but right now at FreeFoldingKnife.com, you can get one of these origami-style folding credit card knives for just a penny. Limit one per order, please. So take advantage of it right now at FreeFoldingKnife.com.
I want to tell you about my friend Steve Quayle, and as we approach difficult times, and we are in difficult times, just look at what's happening in Canada. They're jumping into the throes of a depression. Food prices are out of sight. Well, how long is it going to be until the dollar is going down the same path as the Canadian dollar? And I think not very long. And as I say every day, you need to find a way to convert your cash, as much of it as possible, into precious metals, because that's the only thing that's going to hold its value. This fiat currency is going to go away. How do you do that? Well, first, you call Steve at 406-586-4842. Talk to him about your situation. He'll work with just about any budget, and if he doesn't feel you have enough money to benefit from it, he'll tell you, go buy food. And he does that a lot. But I'd give Steve a call tomorrow, first thing in the morning, and talk to him about your needs. Don't get caught with your money in the bank when the crash comes. Steve Quayle, 406-586-4842. Well, we're joined by Bob Griswold of ReadyMadeResources.com. And Bob, before we go back to our topic and I bring Sheila into this, let's talk about some of the fine product line that you have available at ReadyMadeResources.com.
Well, again, you know, first of all, we've been in business for over 20 years. And I think one of the things that we do bring to the table, Dave, is that I have a pretty good broad experience. We've lived on a working homestead, so we've put multiple disciplines into that, you know, there, whether it's agriculture, animal husbandry, solar, you know, quite a few different disciplines. And then I also am an amateur radio operator, so I'm very familiar with how radio works and setting people up for communication. And then I've had an extensive background traveling overseas, doing security, let's just say, over 40 different countries. So what I have is I can give people, I think, pretty good information on what to do and how to prepare. You know, we've made it our goal in life to get people ready for what we know is coming. So we just tell people, look at the basics. Get your food supply, and we talked the other night about it. Make sure your food supply has plenty of protein in it. We have many different ways to get protein into diets. Make sure your water filters quality, which we sell the Berkey water filters. A lot of things people forget are solar energy. We have the Goal Zero solar products so that they can go there and look at that. If you cannot charge your cell phones, if you cannot charge your radios, if you cannot charge batteries to put into your night vision, you're going to lose the tactical advantage that all those things give you. Do not be without the ability to charge your batteries when power goes down, and make sure you do stock a wide selection, you know, of rechargeable batteries. But those are some of the things we would strongly recommend. Communication, you know, Dave, we've talked also many times about night vision. It's one of the largest selling products we have on our website. Now, people might find that difficult to believe, but they realize, you know, when it gets dark outside, you know, you want the tactical advantage. Night vision allows you to see through the dark. It's one of those things that I tell people, do not be without when the grid goes down. So those are some of the things we have, and, you know, again, after the program, if people have questions, I'll be glad to answer them.
How do they get a hold of you, Bob?
Well, they can call us on our phone, 800-627-3809, and our website is readymaderesources.com. You'll see the sliders that go across. One of the sliders is actually a picture of our homestead. You'll see our greenhouse, and back in the background, I do ceramics, and I'm a luthier. I'm a guitar builder. So there's a shop back there that those two things I do back there, and then you'll see our gardens. And, you know, again, so you can go to readymaderesources.com and check out those things.
Well, you'd be my son's best friend being a guitar builder. He is very much into his music. But anyway, let's bring Sheila into this. Sheila, interested to get a lady's perspective of things. I tend to look at the world as brute force versus, you know, irresistible object versus the immovable whatever. How do you look at this?
Well, first of all, kudos, Bob, on a fantastic website, Ready Made Resources. I've ordered some of your books. You certainly do bring, as you said, a wealth of knowledge. You said you help people get ready. I kind of chuckled because people couldn't survive a day stranded on a freeway with their AMA card in their cell. I mean, I think we always see these kind of, you know, doomsday preppers, some apocalyptic, you know, they pick on, like Discovery Channel will pick on these people who are just prepping and make them look like they're nothing but full-on kooks. And, you know, here's some guy who's just trying to simply prepare. And it really bugs me. It bugs my heart. They pick on these people that don't really have much. And it bothers me. They make preppers look like loonies. And then they'll glamorize Bear Grylls, what he does. And I just, you know, I think it's really important that because there's so much stuff on alternative energy and home defense and homesteading and prepping and medicine and survival and food and water and radio, as you said earlier. So, you know, where does a person that's really wanting to get some information, what do you recommend they do in terms of somebody that just gets overwhelmed by the litany of information out there?
Compartmentalize it. Yeah, it's the way you work through any problem. You compartmentalize your problems. What are the absolutely three, Dave mentioned three things that you absolutely need to survive in your life? You say, these are the most important things I need, and then you start making lists and compartmentalize those lists to where you work through it. I mean, if you look at it, yes, it can be overwhelming, but if you, again, start segregating those lists out, I need to have food, I need to have water, if I want to stay, you know, safe, I might need to have a firearm. I would say you do need to have a firearm. Sheila, you just look what's happening in Europe. And can you imagine if you were in Cologne on New Year's Day? Yeah, you read what happened there. I mean, these women are unarmed. So you have a couple situations there. I mean, you know, can you carry pepper spray? It's probably not going to be enough. You know, the firearm is absolutely essential. I would stock the ammunition up for it. Again, standard caliber ammunition, standard weapons. Dave, we talked about how do you beat gun control. You buy it now. Because when gun control happens, if it does happen, you're not going to get your magazines. You're not going to get your military caliber ammunition. That's going to all be gone. So buy it now. Now, that's the big thing, is I would compartmentalize those things and then segregate it down to where what do I do every day, what do I do weekly, what do I do monthly, what do I do yearly, like that. And that's the way to approach it. And again, you know, food, water, clothing, shelter. I cannot recommend night vision too much. There's so many things that you do with that you will not be able to do when the grid goes down. You know, you talk about kooks, Sheila. Think about this. Ted Koppel's now a kook. Now, I don't mean that he's really a kook, but he has joined the kook club, I guess you could say, because now I heard him say that he just bought a year's worth of food for himself and his wife, his children, which I think he had five children, and then their grandchildren. So, I mean, he realizes the vulnerability of our grid, not just to an EMP weapon, which he talks about, but the more likely event is that he says there's already software bombs built into our grid power infrastructure in the software that runs it, that all somebody has to do is activate it, and this software bomb goes off and it starts shutting everything down or overloading it or misdirecting power. And all of a sudden you have Americans that have no ability to take care of themselves. We all know from many examples we could give, the supermarket shelves will be cleaned in just a minute. And that brings up the second question. Do you want to be down there, one of the people cleaning off the supermarket shelves when they're getting cleaned off? It's going to be an extremely volatile, fluid, and dangerous situation. Prepare ahead of time. Avoid that. Dave, you avoid it. I mean, you know, if you get killed in a stampede at a food, fighting for food, or if you get killed in a terrorist bomb, you're still dead. I mean, preparing ahead, avoiding that situation by preparing ahead. That's all you have to do. We see this happening in Europe right now. I mean, the amount of violence against women is just staggering. And yet, we ho-hum. We watch TV. We avoid it. We really need to start cutting those things off, cutting the TV off. Get out of that system. I mean, you don't need it. It's a way, most people are spending $100 a month, if not more, on cable. Think what you could do with that as far as prepping, or even if you just got to know your family again, took your wife out to dinner for that $100. I mean, got to know your children. Get out of those mediums and start paying attention. Start learning. Sheila, you mentioned you bought books from us. Learning and knowledge are the most valuable things you can have. You know, we talk about that situation. I was in Beijing one day with this pretty big guy, and I won't go into the details, but we were down at Tiananmen Square, and I said, his name's not Joe, but I'm going to say Joe, put your passport in your front pocket. This guy was totally unaware of everything. Put your passport in your front pocket, put your wallet in your front pocket. And no sooner than he did that, then somebody came up and bumped him. I said, "Larry, Joe, do you have your passport and wallet?" And he goes, "Yeah." But he goes, "My damn camera's gone." And he stole his camera just like that. So again, that situational awareness will save your life. Now, it didn't cost him his life, but his camera was gone. All his pictures he had were gone. If he'd had his wallet and passport in his back pocket, that would have been gone. And, you don't want to be in the middle of a foreign country with no passport trying to go down to the embassy and to explain with no ID who you are and what you are. And, you don't want to be there. So, again, that situational awareness of just making alterations to the way you do things can save you a lot of headache. It costs that guy his camera. It could cost you a lot more. If you're in Cologne, and we're going to see these big cities as we see more and more of these immigrants coming in, they are going to be violating women. I mean, America's first war was a war fought against Islam. Brian Kilmeade just wrote a book about it and how standard reason, we haven't offended you, so why are you doing this? That didn't work. The response of the Sultan was, basically, you're a heathen. Our religion tells us we have to do it to you. And so we fought a war. Our first war was fought over this. Again, we really need to learn to get our head out of the TV, get our head out of the cell phones, and then start looking around and start learning again how to be safe in an environment that's is going to become progressively more and more unsafe. One thing we realize also is that 1 in 5 Americans, now there are people that truly need these drugs, but 1 in 5 Americans are chemically altered with a psychotropic drug, a opiate of some sort, where it alters their version of reality. You need to start doing that. How many of these children that have gone into these schools and started shooting people up have been on these drugs? Is it all of them, Dave? I mean, Sheila, you might know that, isn't it?
It's a lot of them. I mean, a lot of it's Prozac. And if you just look at the black box warnings, the black box warnings talk about violent and acting behavior, suicidal behavior. They're there. And a lot of these people just go off the drugs. They flush them down the toilet, which means the rest of us drink it eventually. And then they go off, and this happens a lot, Bob. Hey, I wanted to go back to something you said earlier. Did you say Ted Koppel, of all people, said there are software bombs in our power grid?
That's in the book. Yes. He said that the Chinese and Russians have them in there, and whether they'll use them or not is problematic. But he said the fact is that third world countries are getting more and more sophisticated at building these software bombs, a time bomb basically, that can be detonated just by a phone call. I don't know how they do it, but however they would detonate it, and that it would shut down our grid, shut down our water, shut down the EBT, whatever they'd want to, because it's all software driven. So they have these bugs in there.
And sorry for the heartbreak, but we got to step aside, take a break. We come back, we'll pick it up right here. This is a fascinating stuff. Sheila and Dave here. We'll be right back with Bob Griswold.
All right, for this week's Ranger Gear Review, did you know that hackers and government agencies can scan your RFID personal identity details through the air invisibly using an RFID scanner that reads the chips that are increasingly on driver's licenses, passports, and credit cards? Merely by walking near an RFID scanner, which may be hidden, by the way, you can have your personal identity details stolen without your knowledge or consent. My name is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and I launched Ranger Gear to be able to offer solutions for problems just like this. We came up with RFID blocking sleeves that interfere with RFID scanning attempts and block them so that no one can steal information off your credit cards, driver's licenses, or passports. You just slip any credit card or passport into one of these sleeves, and it immediately blocks the RFID scanning. It can't get through it. It's like a bulletproof vest against RFID signals. These RFID blocking sleeves are infinitely reusable, they're durable, they're portable, lightweight, almost weigh nothing, and you have to use them now when you travel to protect your identity and your personal security as well. We've got them on sale now, a pack of 10 credit card sleeves and 2 passport protectors. All of them block RFID 100%. They're available now 10% off by using discount code DAVE at rangergear.com. Again, just use coupon code DAVE at rangergear.com and you'll save 10% off this RFID blocking sleeve pack, which contains 10 credit card sleeves and 2 passport protectors. I really can't emphasize this enough. Anywhere that you travel right now, if you have these RFID chips embedded in your cards or passports, you are being scanned and tracked without your knowledge. But you can block that using these RFID blocking sleeves right now. Rangergear.com. Use discount code DAVE to save 10% today.
You know, I was talking to Mike Adams last night. You just heard him on the latest commercial right there. But I was talking to him last night about these sleeves, and they're almost sold out. And I'm telling you, what he said there about you're being scanned and you're being tracked, that's absolutely true. And it's not just the government and the NSA that's doing it. It's also a lot of people who are just common criminals, just thieves, people looking to prey upon you. Anyway, we're back, and I wanted to talk. Well, Sheila, let me bring you into this, too, because I want to get your perspective on this. I know you've got an important question for Bob Griswold, who's our special guest of ReadyMadeResources.com. Sheila, go ahead.
Well, this is my question. Dave and I did a really interesting show on the government really waging war on off-grid living across the U.S., local overzealous zoning officials, making it really increasingly difficult for people to even go off-grid, in some instances threatening people with jail time for collecting rainwater or not hooking into local utilities, camping being illegal. What's your comment on that?
Well, again, first of all, location. We try to find a place that is not as highly regulated as a place that would be more highly regulated, and make the selection to get there, get out of harm's way if you can. Now, that might become increasingly more difficult, but if, you know, I don't want to live in Boston, Massachusetts, expecting to own a firearm. I would have to relocate. So that's the first thing. And second of all, to the best of your ability, be the gray man. Don't make a big show of it. If you're doing things that like that that could be questionable as far as some type of environmental regulation, I mean, not you're not dumping oil in a lake somewhere, your motor oil in a lake, and we're not talking about that. We're talking about just maybe collecting rainwater or some other thing to that effect. Just be quiet about it. Don't talk about it. And just try to maintain operational security to the best of your ability. You know, what people don't know, they can't do anything about. So just be quiet. I talk about this all the time. You know, people walk down, some people you just notice. It seems like they want to be noticed. You know, the people with the aqua and purple hair. You know, I was discussing that with my 13-year-old the other day. Why do people do that? I mean, it's just like, are they intentionally trying to make themselves, you know, unattractive or what? Try to be the person that doesn't do that. Try to be the person that fits in. You know, everybody has credit cards today, and to the ability that you have to use them, I mean, you might consider using them. Try to do what most people do. If you decide to go off-grid, that's a choice you have to make. I would try to find an area where off-grid living would be accepted, and there are places where it's more accepted than not accepted. I mean, obviously, again, using Boston, you wouldn't want to put, you know, 50 solar panels on your house and say you're going off-grid in the middle of Boston. That's an extreme example, but you would quickly draw attention to yourself. So try not to draw attention to yourself. Try to be the gray man. Try to be invisible. That's the best advice you can do.
Well, I don't think your house can be the only one on the block that has lights, Bob. And that's, when I look at generators, I mean, you better hope your neighbors have some generators too.
Yes. Again, this is the benefit of solar, even small solar. You can charge batteries. You can run small devices. I'm fond of telling people, hey, how much solar does it take to run my house? Well, you want to look at what's mission critical. Obviously, we don't have to keep the six-pack cold during the crisis. So refrigeration can be greatly reduced, I mean, to some very small things. People don't realize eggs and butter do not need to be refrigerated. And for long periods, I mean, you can go longer periods of time than most people think. You have to put eggs and butter in the refrigerator. We live on a farm. You don't have to. And so you want to reduce the things that take large amounts of power. Refrigeration is one of those things that takes a large amount of power. You know, obviously air conditioning, anything where you're turning electrical energy into heat energy, you know, stove, dryer, those take a tremendous amount of energy. So you want to develop a solar plan that fits your budget, but at the same time can meet the needs. I mean, you might want to be able to keep your radios charged. Again, you know, Dave, I'm a big proponent of using amateur radio bands, because if the cell phones go down, if the computer goes down, those radio waves are still going to work, most likely. You know, something would have to really go wrong. So you want to be able to charge those radios. And so, a small inverter charger solar panel system will work for that. Again, you might want to keep your computer charged. You know, we have 18-20-watt solar panels that you can plug right in and charge your computer. And again, if modems are working, things like that, you might want to keep those running. A few lights. I tell people to get away from incandescent, even the compact fluorescent lights, and go to LED lighting. And if you do have lights on and nobody else does, you want to use black plastic. Do not use blankets. If you have night vision, those photons go right through those blankets, and I'm going to see that you have light on in that room. Black plastic definitely breaks the light barrier. And so, you know, black plastic is a good thing to do, or go into a room where there's no doors or windows, and do your whatever lighting you need there. But obviously, you do not want to have lights when everybody else in the city is down. Many years ago, our business runs on solar, which is on our property. We have a store right on our property, and power went off, and the phone company got a complaint that they got our power fixed before the neighbor across the street got their power fixed. Well, we were on solar. Now, that's kind of a funny story at that juncture, because it was just a temporary power outage. But imagine if the power had gone down for a long period of time and people saw me with electricity. I mean, I'd be a very popular guy, and a popularity I would not want at that point. So,
exactly.
I would want to be very, very discreet on how I use my electrical energy that I have. So again, that's what I would say along those things. Just be discreet, but get solar generators, make lots of noise. Plus, they take a lot of petrochemicals and gasoline to run a diesel, whatever it is, propane. You don't want to be in that situation. Solar is a nice thing; it's renewable, and you can keep what I would call mission critical running.
We're listening to Bob Griswold here on the Common Sense Show from ReadyMadeResources.com. And Bob, I saw a disaster movie on the History Channel. It's like a docudrama. Excuse me. And in the docudrama, these people were living in suburban L.A.
After
and they wanted to make their house look like it was already looted. So they actually took some of the drawers out of their chest of drawers, loaded with some clothes, and they just disheveled them and threw them out on the front lawn. And they hoped that the gangs that were going house to house would just ignore it, because this has already been looted.
It's going to work for a while, but in a very, very long, protracted situation, you're going to have people going meticulously through, because they'll be going through and through again. Dave, I've told you this before. You know, I've been to countries where people get very, very desperate. And when they get very, very desperate, they do anything. And, you know, we've talked about it. They really do anything. So it's best to be out of that environment when that happens, if it's at all possible. Plan ahead. That would be a temporary stopgap, yes, but eventually, for a long-term power outage, people are going to get very desperate, and then they'll start doing desperate things. They'll be looking for anything, and so anything means anything. And
address the gridlock issue, would you? And then Sheila, I want you to jump back into this, please. The gridlock, trying to get out of a town. You said don't be there. But I'm just thinking about the massive traffic backup there's going to be on the arterials trying to get out of town.
The vertical parking lot.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Don't be there. If you can avoid it, don't be there. I mean, once you're locked into that city, you're going to have to ride it out. And, we've seen microcosms of it. New Orleans was probably the most dramatic of what we saw, when people who had grown completely dependent on a system, people who probably did not know how to take care of their daily affairs, people who had lived on the grace of others via their welfare system, and then all of a sudden that was gone, and they had to go into survival mode. Well, their survival mode was violence, and that's primal. That's what's going to happen. And so, if you see something that, like in New Orleans, happening or going to happen, I mean, it's much better to get out of the area, get out of the way. You don't want to be there. I mean, you might be John Rambo and you might have you know, every type of weapon and protection you have, but you're going to be addressing some very, very moral issues, because once people figure out you're the guy with stuff, you're going to have a lot of people visiting you, and they're not going to be very happy, and if you say no to them, they're going to expect it from you. So try to avoid it. And again, it goes back to what I mentioned, being the gray man. Do not be a high-profile person. If you can get down low profile, stay low profile. Be that person. Sheila, I don't know what your comments are, but that's what I would say.
Yeah, Sheila, what do you think about this?
I agree. I totally agree with that statement. Well, one of the things I often get emailed, I really like your take on this, Bob, water, as we know, is essential for life. And I often get emailed, what do you recommend, Sheila, for water storage, water distillers, there's desalination, Berkey filters, water filters, these life straws. Where do you start with all that?
Well, you know, first of all, I would just say in day-to-day use, my wife is Roxanne's an ND, naturopathic doctor. Dave, you know, I kid about it. She's also a fourth Dan black belt, and so she can kill you or cure you. She doesn't let me say that on the radio, but I'm going to say it anyhow. I'll risk her contempt with saying it. But, you know, just day-to-day, we want to drink water, and tap water a lot of times is not healthy water to drink, so we're going to use a Berkey for our day-to-day drinking. And even during an emergency, a Berkey's fine. If you're in a fixed position like a home, a Berkey is a great water filter to have for day-to-day use or even in an emergency. You know, you can filter pretty much all water with it. Exceptions are, you know, if it has petrochemicals in it, you'd have to separate the water. You know, obviously we tell people if it has a lot of junk in it, you'd want to use anything, a screen, a shirt, whatever, to pre-filter your water so you're not putting a lot of particulates in it. Even though the Berkey will do it, you'll clog the filters up quicker. And then the other thing people have to remember is if you're living in a cold climate and there's no heat, water does expand when it freezes. And if you have water in those Berkey filters, when it freezes, it's going to break them. So you want to keep your water filter above freezing. If you're mobile, I mean, there's quite a few good ones from very quick mobile. I would recommend the Sawyer Mini Filter. It's a little pocket thing. It fits in your pocket. There's 100,000 gallons of water. To me, it's in my bug home bag. I love the thing. If you want something that's for more than maybe your family, Katadyn Vario is a very, very good water filter. It's sub $90 for that one. The Sawyer is sub $25. So, you know, they're very affordable. Again, like you said, water is absolutely essential. You want to get whatever you store your water in. I recommend, you know, putting some type of an anti-contaminant like bleach or something to that effect, that you're not going to have bacteria growing in it. But push comes to shove, at the end of the day, if you've stored water, and even if it's pristine, I still run it through the filter. You cannot take a chance of getting a waterborne illness in a crisis situation, because there's nothing nastier than getting Cryptosporidium or Giardia or some other type of contaminant in your system, and, you know, you're down. I mean, you are down for a while.
I don't know what that is. But that sounds pretty scary to me.
Probably two of the most common waterborne diseases from drinking untreated water. If you go down to the creek and drink the water, those are two of the diseases you would get.
Bob, let's pick that explanation up on the other side. We're right into our heartbreak. And we come back, I want to pick up about these waterborne diseases, because I've read that's going to be the major cause of death down the road. Stay tuned, everybody. We'll be back in just a moment.
For this week's Ranger Gear Review, we are literally giving away folding credit card knives for one penny each. This is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and to take advantage of this offer, just go to freefoldingknife.com. That's freefoldingknife.com, and you'll get this folding credit card knife for just one penny. This isn't some gimmick. This is a real emergency-use folding credit card knife with a steel blade, very, very sharp, 65 millimeters in length on the blade, but it folds down like origami to the shape and size of a credit card. This makes it incredibly easy to carry in a pocket or a purse or the glove box of your car and have it ready for emergency use. Normally, these are sold for anywhere from $5 to $10, but right now at freefoldingknife.com, you can get one of these origami-style folding credit card knives for just a penny. Limit one per order, please. So take advantage of it right now at freefoldingknife.com.
Welcome back, and we're glad we could be with you today. We're in our final segment with our special guest, Bob Griswold from readymaderesources.com. And I just want to remind everybody, our website is thecommonsenseshow.com. We
encourage you to visit there. We have a daily listing of our guests, our programs. We have a great show tomorrow. We have Joseph Meyer as we talk about the dire state of the economy, and I do mean dire in capital letters. So Joseph will be on with us tomorrow, and he's no stranger to our audience. And also, it looks like our newsletter issue is resolved. So you should be, if you're signed up for it, be receiving our newsletter tomorrow, and I'm happy to report that. Well, Bob, one of the things that we were just chatting about offline, and also we were talking about going into the break, was I've read frequently in these disasters that are protracted that waterborne diseases could they eventually take over as being the leading cause of death because we're drinking impure water. So let's go back to what you were saying before the break about some of these diseases I could barely pronounce and what they mean for our health and safety.
Well, again, I've known people have actually gotten those two diseases, and it, to be delicate about it, you become very acquainted with your bathroom. They ravage your intestinal tract, and so you want to try to avoid them. And filtration is the easiest way. And we have to also address the fact that two other things: we see this tremendous influx now of diseases that have been long eradicated in the United States. They're making a resurgence. Typhus. I mean, so many of these things could be waterborne, and it could be done from nefarious or non-nefarious reasons. Somebody could be intentionally contaminating water sources, or it could just be the fact that people are flooding into our country that live in other countries where diseases are more common. So you better be able to deal with water. I mean, boiling it, filtering it, you know, using a chemical sterilizer. But at the end of the day, I don't want to be drinking large amounts of toxic chemicals, because if it kills a bacteria, it's toxic. It'll probably kill you if you take it in larger enough doses. So I want to try to avoid that. That's push come to shove. Last case survival scenario, yes. Rather than drinking untreated water, I'll do that. But right now I have the ability to have Berkey filters. And again, you want replacements for these things. Water filtration is one of the things, whereas one is none and two is one. You want to have a backup ability. You want to carry, even in your car, you want to have a water filter. I carry one with me everywhere I go. It's in my bug out bag. That Sawyer mini filter, it's I think $23. It acts like a drinking straw, but it also has a Mylar bag. You can fill up and squirt it through the filter. Very good. So you have, if you're out and something happens, you have the ability to get down in that mud puddle and get that water and drink it without, you know, risking some type of contamination. So that, to me, it's extremely, extremely important to deal with that.
I hear the technical side of it, Bob, and you just said that, my stomach turned. Sheila?
Well, I always kind of, you know, you just mentioned the word nefarious, and of course, you know, we know there's viruses in our recreational lakes, the rivers, the streams. We get that we have to prevent these waterborne diseases, especially the bacteria and the viruses, and even I've read some nightmarish contamination issues. You know, and of course, they issue these boiling water advisories and things like that. But here's what I don't trust. I don't trust boiled water, but I certainly don't trust bottled water. I mean, look at Coca-Cola did with Dasani. I mean, they've made a fortune on selling water. Now we're finding out these places like Avion, it's not even glacier water. It's just they, you know, go to the sink and fill these things up.
Yeah.
What should we be thinking about bottled water?
Back to, you know, first of all, I try not to drink out of plastic to begin with. It's made out of gasoline. I don't care how safe they say it is. I don't want to drink out of bottles made of gasoline. And so I try to avoid that at all cost. If you can never be too safe in a survival situation. If I get Cryptosporidium majority now, I'm not going to die from it most likely. If I have a compromised immune system, I might. I can go to the hospital, I think it's Flagyl is the drug they give you, and you can be, you know, a couple weeks, you can be back at work again, catching back up. In a survival situation where you do not have that type of life support where you could give people, there's a good chance, I mean, people die from all over the world from diarrhea, and there's a good chance you can die from it. So if I have water in plastic, if I have water stored, if I have water in rain barrels, no matter how clean I think it is, I'm going to filter it. In a survival situation, every bit of water gets filtered, every bit, without exception, none. I filter it.
Bob, I want you to put on your speculation hat. Why are so many states like Colorado making it illegal to trap rainwater when it has such a practical purpose?
Well, I mean, you know, there could be several different things. I mean, obviously, it is a control mechanism. They feel like they control the water, and they want to have access to that water that you say that belongs to you. So it is a battle between individual right versus a state right. We've addressed this for a long time now. Libertarians, people of freedom, think, you know, the water belongs to them. The state, trying to assume the role of godhood, thinks that all blessings flow from the state. Anything that you can do flows from the state. The state has to sanction everything. That's the whole civil rights movement versus inalienable rights given by God. The state issues the civil right. As long as you have civil rights, I don't want civil rights. I want my inalienable rights. All I want the state to do is to recognize that I have these rights given to me by my Creator, and they're not issued by the state. They are defended. My inalienable rights, the state's only obligation is to defend those rights. For them to claim ownership of rainwater is an invasion of what I believe are the pursuit of life, liberty, and happiness. So at the end of the day, I think it boils down to tyranny. Whether they address it and think it's tyranny or not, whether they think they're doing good management or not, we all know how well government manages things to begin with. So we can leave it there. You know, the government keeps the water and they manage it so well. Like I said, if the government were managing the Sahara Desert, in 5 years there'd be no sand there.
Oh, that's well said. Sheila?
Wow. Well, I think incredible resources that you put together. And what I'd really like to recommend to people is go there and also give you a call. And, you know, can you really help people tailor in their needs specifically? I think you can. And so I'd recommend that people do call you, make an appointment to ask you what their situation is and tailor it to that. Isn't that the best way, Bob?
It's absolutely the best way, because Dave, you asked me one time on a program, what's the best hiking boot? And, you know, I said, well, if you live in the mountains, it's one thing. If you live in Florida, it's another thing. You know, you don't use it. One of the things about situational awareness is there is no one set rule for every situation. And anybody who tells you this is what you do if this happens, they've never been in a situation where they've ever felt fear or endangerment or any of that, because that situation is very fluid. It can change quickly. Your situation, where you're at, you know, time of the year, a lot of things come into play, and how you prepare. I tell people, you know, Dave, if you live in a big city where you might have riots and dispersal agents might be used, you might want to think about a protective mask. Now, if you live out in the middle of North Dakota in some wheat field, you might not need one, you know? So it depends a lot of it in your geographic location. So those are things that you can custom tailor for people if they're willing to, you know, just go forth. The biggest danger is people go out and buy these $250 bug-home bags. I can tell you, if you spent $250 on a bug-home bag, it absolutely will not serve you well when push comes to shove, and you really need to survive on that. Most of that stuff is in there is junk. It's made for one or two uses, if that, and they're going to quickly fail. I tell people all the time, it's not proper grammar, but it's true. Cheap ain't good and good ain't cheap. And that is so true. If you're going to get something you depend your life on, you don't want a Saturday night special firearm. You want a good firearm. You know, you want something of quality. So I tell people to take their time, think through what their purchases are. Don't feel rushed. Don't feel like I've got to check all the boxes, so I'm going to go out and buy a bunch of cheap stuff, and then I get the boxes checked, because that's just false security. Buy one good thing at a time, and, you know, line upon line, precept upon precept, build your, your preparedness kit and be ready for it. That's what I would strongly recommend. And again, Dave, you know, I've used night vision for, gosh, I've had it, I think first pair I got in 1985. I've used it extensively. You got to be able to see what's going on at night. Even if you have a family, have one family member, as a family group, buy it, whatever, because bad people are going to be roving around at night. You just look at these riots. You look at any of these police riots. What the police go on high duty at night. When Ferguson or Philadelphia or any of these, it's at night this happens. And, you know, I don't want to be at night on the same ground everybody else is. You know, my first martial arts instructor told me, if you're not cheating, you're not trying in a fight. Well, in a fight, I want to cheat. And, you know, night vision allows me to cheat, so I want to cheat.
And don't forget your Bible in your bug-out bag. That's what I recommend, Bob.
Absolutely. Sheila, you know, unless the Lord builds a house, they which labor in vain. We trust in God for all of it. Thank you for saying that. That is so germane to the whole argument of, you know, why we survive. I have a family, my posterity, all that. You know, without those spiritual values, I mean, it just becomes a matter of, you know, dying a few years later. We live for a reason. We live for the glory of God. We live to bring Him glory. We live to serve, and you know, the Bible is what gives us our value system and our guidance.
Well, and let me just get in this on a final thing. I've had a lot of people say, hey, I stand on Psalm 91. I don't have to prepare. Well, that's fine, but I'd highly recommend that you talk to Bob and also stick to Psalm 91.
Or just go get the journals of Noah or go get the journals of Joseph and read them. Tell them that.
Hey,
those are the people that are going to be looking for driftwood, floating along the ocean, trying to keep their heads above water. Well, you know, somebody has built an ark, and they're going to be beating on the door like that happened. Let me in.
Joseph was the ultimate prepper in the Bible, so there you go.
Yeah.
Well, Noah was no slouch.
No.
Let's give credit where credit was due. Bob, in just a couple minutes we have left again, I want to give the listening audience, because they're hearing this and they're going, man, some of this is really good stuff. I need to pay attention to some of this. Let's give them a way to get a hold of you and then just highlight some of your, let's say, 101 products, getting started products.
Well, again, my website's readymaderesources.com. Been doing this for about 20 years. My phone number is 800-627-3809. People can feel free to give me a call. And, you know, food, water, and shelter, you know, think about communication. If you have the money, think about the night vision device, because I'm telling you, you're going to see a lot of activity at night, and that's one thing you don't want to be able to deal with. You know, some of these things I carry, some of them I don't. Firearm, you know, be able to learn to defend your family. And I would say most of all is like what Sheila said, get back into the Bible, read it, seek God's direction, turn that, I use the word reverently, damned TV off, that pipeline of satanic infiltration into our home where you see filth and vileness every night. Turn that thing off and then get around and have family time again. Learn to read again. We're reading right now, Bradford's diaries of the pilgrims and the diaries they did of the suffering they went through to find religious liberty. I think it was written in 1627. We're reading that as a family, and you're reading them saying, my gosh, these are my brothers and sisters that went long before me, and what they suffered and went through to have religious freedom and their faith. And it was just like, that's much more important to me, to build those values in my child and myself, than to see who won the next throw the ball, dribble the ball, whatever you do with the ball, who won that, because tomorrow you won't even care. But those eternal values you build into your family are the ones that are going to give you the strength of personal character to withstand the very, very difficult times that we are facing.
Very, very, very well said, Bob. Bob Griswold, readymaderesources.com, and I'd encourage you to call in tomorrow. Bob, once again, give out that number.
800-627-3809. And we do want to say, Sheila, it was a pleasure to be on the program with you. I listen to you often, but I've never, you know, first time we've met. So,
God bless you, Bob. Thank you for everything you do, too, sir.
You have a good eye for talent, Bob. She's the best. And so are you, my friend. Thanks so much for joining us today. I really appreciate it, Bob. Always a pleasure.
God bless.
Well, Sheila, I told you he was a 5-star guest. And the listening audience goes, yeah, we've heard him before, Dave, but it's always something new. He always hits different angles because he is such an expert. He sees so many situations. And I'll tell you, my takeaway real quickly was you don't get the same thing in Florida that you get in Colorado. So call Bob tomorrow and find out what he has available. Anyway, we'll be back tomorrow with Joseph Meyer. Thanks for joining us today. This is Dave Hodges for my co-host Sheila Zielinski. Go out and have a great day. God bless.